This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick joins us Fridays at this time. Yes?
No, I'm saying what?
Oh.
Yeah.
Rookie minicamp, Joe. How's it going?
What up, JP?
It's going great, guys. You know, the sun is shining. We're up here at Flyer Ranch. I'm literally standing next to the practice field watching it all go down right now. So it feels like order is restored. It always feels good to see these guys back out here after, you know, the last time, at least my experience, like the last time we're out here, it's cold, you know, the weather is crappy. And all of a sudden, it feels like training camp's right around the corner again.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say how the rookies are doing because they're really not doing a lot.
Break down the performances.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking at Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. right now, just standing next to the bags with their helmets off. I mean, they're standing great. Looks like they're getting some really good coaching right now from the outside linebackers coach who's marching around the bags. And so, yeah, that's what those two are doing. The rest of them are out doing 7-on-7s right now. But I think, you know, there's some different treatment for the guys who are probably going to be starting when the 53 is on the 53-man.
When do they get back, Joe? I'm assuming because it's only rookies this time. The veterans come back Monday. Do they join the rookies or do the rookies get to leave and then come back?
Yeah, so they will be, I believe, by like the end of next week, the vets will be here and they'll be out on the grass again. This will actually be the only day where the rookies are out here. And Raheem Morris basically said, you know, this is a big deal for media and stuff. We're going to hear from these guys after the practice. But ultimately, this is like a freshman orientation weekend for these guys. And Raheem Morris said it's the purpose of these practices are mainly so that they're not bumping into people when the actual practices start, when they introduce the vets next week. And even those won't be full practices. They'll kind of be, you know, phased in. Raheem talked about there's basically three phases for these rookies to kind of understand the program and what's going on. And this is just kind of the introduction of that. But to answer your question, Randy, yeah, the vets will be back here next week, obviously on a voluntary basis.
And one of the fun things about the post-draft process is you get to know the guys that your team took a little bit better. Maybe sometimes you get some details about how certain picks went down. Obviously, the Falcons trading back into the first round to get James Pierce is interesting, and a lot of interesting stories have been written about it since then. Well, what's your like favorite little nugget or two that you've learned about that process in terms of like vetting him and then drafting him and getting him in?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I haven't gotten like full confirmation on this, but some inside baseball stuff here is the pre-draft press conference that Terry Fontenot holds the day before the draft every year. This year it got bumped up to like 9 a.m., which is about as early as you're ever going to see a press conference, especially out in Flyer Branch that takes about an hour to get to from, you know, Metro Atlanta anyway. So that was quite an early press conference that they got bumped up. And then it came out that after the draft, after the first round when they drafted James Pierce Jr., that they had met with him and his mom, I believe, among other people. And I do wonder if that was related to the last-minute change of the press conference times. They were going to have that meeting during that. But so many things happen, guys, especially like in that last week before the draft. It feels like there's all these kinds of you know, intelligence being gathered. And you do, I think, start to see the mock draft start to reflect a little bit more of what the real situation will be like versus, you know, what people are doing 2 months prior.
JP, is there a competition that you, because we were just talking earlier about, we were looking over the roster and everything as far as the rookies and who and whatever. Is there only one position that's really in for competition going into the season? Is that the kicker position?
Well, yeah, the kicker position is one. And honestly, it's one I probably don't think of as much as I should, considering its importance. But that will definitely be a competition. But, you know, I think in the secondary, there's going to be guys absolutely competing for roles and for jobs or for, you know, spots on the 53-man roster and beyond. Obviously, D. Alford was this team's nickelback last year, and it didn't go well for him or any of the players who were playing nickelback for Jimmy Lake's defense, which I think is important to note. But having said that, you know, D. Alford is a guy who himself was an undrafted free agent, you know, kind of came up and is fighting for his, you know, NFL career every year. And, you know, I think you have a level of competition this year that's going to be able to, you know, put players like him to the test. And, you know, that, I think that ultimately gets the best out of everybody. But Kobe Bryant, obviously kind of the most well-known of the undrafted free agents that the Falcons got, the cornerback out of Kansas. And I've seen he's been posting on social media, you know, just, you know, he's a confident young man. Let's put it that way. And I am fascinated to see him go up in a one-on-one against Drake London in training camp, because you just know that's going to be on the cards, you know, with how confident both of those guys are.
What has he been posting? Like, that leads you to say he's so confident.
He is very.
You know,
the picture with the Matt Ryan jersey on threw me off. I was like, whoa. You ain't that good, young fella.
What was it? He had a Matt Ryan jersey on?
Yeah. Okay. He ain't that good, young fella.
Well, he wanted to, yeah, I believe, and I don't even know what number he is out here. I actually don't have a roster in front of me, but yeah, I mean, even if you just go back and look, like the way he plays, like he plays with his hair on fire. You know, he's a chirper, which I think is great for the Falcons secondary. Yeah. I think that they need that kind of personality, and I'm just fascinated to see how that kind of, you know, manifests itself in a Falcons practice, especially again once we get the rest of the vets around him.
I realize a couple guys have worn number 11 between Julio Jones and now, but they are guys that didn't really play, so I don't think anyone really noticed that. I mean, the first-round draft pick, who everyone's hoping is here for the next decade and like a franchise staple, is now going to be wearing it in Jalen Walker. Is that surprising at all to you? Or, I mean, the fact that other people have worn it, I guess, should make it not?
Yeah, it's not at all to me. To me, this is kind of a non-issue. But, and I think that, you know, it's the expect someone to wear number 2 again, too, you know, like, I think that these numbers are definitely revered, and it's like, I don't think they're going to just give these numbers away to anybody, but, you know, if they're a first round pick, and someone like Jalen Walker, who I think, you know, has
or
like
Logan
all
Woodside.
The character that
no,
you want,
right,
or Logan Woodside, yeah. But no, honestly, I think the Falcons get this right, and there's like two ways to go about kind of honoring former players, which is to retire numbers or do a ring of honor. And I guess you could do both, but I really just like the ring of honor and just honoring people by their names. You can put their names up on the stadium, but leave the numbers there for like legacies to be built and prestige to kind of be built up around these things. I think that's the best way to do it. And it's like, I don't know, like number two, number 11, like these are prime numbers. You want your star players to kind of have some of these numbers down there, you know, down the line over the years. And so I'd rather just then be open for players to take.
Oh, just so much disagree with you, Joe. So I'm assuming you think that Abdul should get Abdul up and up. So he should get number 56?
No. So that's where I'm on. If the number is retired, it's retired.
Okay.
I actually love the players standing on.
All right, I was about to say
the former players. Yeah, I know. I love that. If it's theirs, it's theirs. You know, what's done is done.
I feel like we need to be like that's one that is like, yeah, obviously.
Yes.
Lawrence Taylor, you retire his number. He's LT.
Yeah.
Super Bowls. He was one of the greats of all time. Like, and I'm not saying the Falcons do this, but there are organizations that are a little like
loose with
little
the retirement
loose
numbers.
With the retirement.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and that's where it comes from.
You retired whose number?
Yeah,
like,
but a lot of that,
right?
But a lot of that could be also what they do in the community.
For sure.
All those different things.
Look, teams could do whatever they want. I just is like, to me, it's like, if you're getting no one's ever going to wear this number again in franchise history.
Right.
Like, you had to.
You got to be one.
You better bring a trophy here.
Yeah, but. Joe, did you expect any kind of, like, first of all, were you expecting him to get 11? Because I didn't know. And then were you surprised that there was some backlash behind it?
I don't know what I was expecting. I guess. I guess I just didn't care about the numbers. Not to kind of poo-poo that.
No,
but
it's fine.
I don't know. I think it's all kind of funny, just like the uproar that people have over it or not. But I'm with you. It's like, you know, if a guy makes the Hall of Fame, like, does that then qualify you to retire that number? I suppose so, but you got to have the long-term vision, guys. Like, 80 years when we're playing NFL football here, yeah. Who's going to wear, you know, right. We got to have these numbers available.
If the team's good enough for long enough, there won't be any numbers left. You got to be very careful with it. If someone asked you to make the argument that the Falcons are better now than they were at the end of the season last year, what would be the what's the main argument for that?
I think it's that you're younger, you're more athletic, especially on defense. And I think offensively, I mean, I don't mean to be like insulting to Kirk Cousins, but the Falcons have a better passing attack by far with Michael Penix as the team's leader and quarterback, because you can access so many different parts of the field. So I think that there's like, the way I kind of see it, there's much more upside for this version of the Falcons.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons. And, you know, there's some downside too. When you have young players, more inexperienced players, you know, they might not respond well to that. That's where you're kind of leaning on some of the coaching and that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I think that there's so much upside for this team, both this year and then once we get years into the future because of this young talent they've amassed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think even last year, the ceiling wasn't reached, but the ceiling was still, you know, relatively low.
It right,
feels like the
right.
ceiling
It was,
now,
let's win the NFC South, and yeah, that's pretty much the peak of what we can do.
I think that's right. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.